Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode of Swindled may contain graphic descriptions or audio recordings of disturbing events which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The preliminary investigation reveals that the 48-year-old man was riding on a Manhattan-bound Q train and seated in the last car of the train. According to witnesses, the suspect was walking back and forth in the same train car and without provocation pulled out a gun and fired it at the victim at close range. Investigators are in possession of and currently reviewing the MTA security video obtained from the station. Witnesses have been located and are being interviewed by detectives, and at this time, there are no arrests.
Daniel Enriquez rarely took the subway, but on May 22, 2022, he made an exception. New York was sweltering that day, surging Uber's dynamic prices through the roof. To avoid the gouging, Daniel boarded the Q train in Brooklyn, stood in the center section of the last car, and grabbed the handrail. With his free hand, Daniel Enriquez scrolled through his phone. It was around 11:40 a.m. The 48-year-old researcher from Goldman Sachs was headed to Manhattan to have brunch with his brother. As the Q train crossed the East River, everyone in that subway car avoided eye contact with a fellow passenger who was pacing and muttering. The only distinguishable words anyone remembers hearing are, quote, "no phones." When the muttering man reached the car's center, he came upon Daniel Enriquez with device in hand. And without provocation, the man walked up to Daniel, pulled a handgun from his pocket, and shot him once in the chest.
911, do you need police?
Someone was shot on the train.
What train, ma'am?
The Q train.
Passengers of the Q train pulled the emergency brake when it stopped at the Canal Street station. The train operator performed CPR on Daniel Enriquez until EMS arrived. The victim was rushed to Bellevue Hospital, where he was pronounced dead on arrival. The suspect had disappeared into the crowd.
The Manhattan-bound Q train crossing over the East River. It was during this short trip from Brooklyn late Sunday morning when police say a gunman started pacing the train's last car, where Daniel Enriquez was sitting down, minding his own business.
The murder of Daniel Enriquez was every New Yorker's worst nightmare.
The murder of Daniel Enriquez was the fourth subway homicide of the year in New York City. Crime, in general, had reportedly increased 68% from the previous year. Multiple stabbings, a woman had been pushed onto the tracks, and just a month earlier, a man had shot 10 people, killing zero, after setting off smoke grenades in a busy subway car. NYPD was motivated to make an arrest for the latest horror. Within hours, they scrubbed through surveillance footage and citizen videos to identify the suspect. He was a young black man, heavyset with a beard, wearing a black hoodie and white sneakers. They were able to observe his next moves. After exiting the train, the suspect climbed the stairs to Lafayette and Canal Street. There, he handed the gun to a perplexed panhandler and continued its getaway. The footage also shows transit officers stopping to question the suspect just 11 minutes after the shooting. But by then, the suspect had removed his hoodie and no longer matched the shooter's description. He disappeared after that. By the following day, investigators had tracked down the vagrant who was now in possession of the murder weapon. That man said he had held onto the gun for about 8 hours before trading it for $10 and a bag of crack. Hours later, that third party was found by police, and the gun was recovered. It was a 9mm Luger pistol, which had been reported stolen in Virginia. The ballistics matched the shell casings recovered from the Q train. There was also traceable DNA on the handle.
That male was identified as Andrew Abdullah, a 9-block gang member. He's a male black, 25 years old, with a date of birth of December 2nd, 1996. His last known address is 580 Flatbush Avenue.
25-year-old Andrew Abdullah was a known gang member who had been arrested as many as 19 times since 2015. Domestic violence, grand theft auto, robbery, attempted murder. Yet there he was, with fresh blood on his hands, freely walking the streets of New York. A day after the murder, Abdullah's face was plastered on every newspaper in the city. The pressure must have got to him and his family. On May 24th, 2022, he turned himself in. Andrew Abdullah was arraigned on a second-degree murder charge, for which he has pleaded not guilty. He is currently being held without bail, awaiting trial. This is New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
We got him, and we got him in a way that he did not cause more injuries to New Yorkers. We got a killer off our streets, but far too many killers are back on our streets through a revolving door criminal justice system that appears to pit the NYPD and good New Yorkers against the bad guys. Daniel was shot in his heart. We feel it in our hearts. We lost a fellow New Yorker, one of the good guys.
The NYPD got their bad guy, but not without some confusion. Earlier that day, reporters swarmed the 5th Precinct, where they were told Andrew Abdullah was expected to give himself up. A local pastor named Bishop Lamar Whitehead had coordinated with the cops, the mayor, and the suspect's family to hand him over. Abdullah's aunt was a parishioner at Bishop Whitehead's church. She called him, worried that the cops would use extreme force in apprehending her nephew. So she asked for the bishop's help, who convinced her to convince Andrew to surrender.
My heart goes out to the victim's family. My prayers go out to the victim's family. And this is what I echo to the family, and I said, let's come in and let's surrender.
Bishop Lamar Whitehead, a good friend and, quote, mentee of Mayor Eric Adams, had a plan. He told Andrew Abdullah's aunt to bring Andrew to his church. Then, the bishop told the New York Post, the plan was he was walking in with me, and I was going to turn him over to the mayor. The mayor was going to be at the 5th Precinct because that's what I set up with the mayor.
I said, now I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to call the powers that be because I don't want this young man to die. I said, we die for less. So if my name is on it and I start calling, I reached out to the mayor. I called him direct. I reached out to all of the top commissioners and chiefs of police. I let them know what I was doing. I set everything up. I got on the phone with the family. I told the family, I said, look, okay, this is the time where we're going to turn him in. Now I need y'all to meet me at the 5th Precinct.
But that's not what happened. Instead, as reporters waited, Bishop Lamar Whitehead pulled up to the 5th Precinct in his gray Rolls Royce and gaudy Fendi blazer, alone and empty-handed. He told reporters that Andrew Abdullah had already been ambushed and arrested at the Legal Aid Society office, where he was meeting with a lawyer. Whitehead said the NYPD decided not to wait for a peaceful resolution. They surrounded Abdullah on the street with guns drawn.
There was a charade of officers with guns drawn. And I asked them, I said, he was going to turn himself in. Why would you guys do it this way?
This man is innocent, Bishop Lamar Whitehead told the Post. His family has untold paperwork showing that he has mental health issues. As he states, he doesn't remember anything. I wish the police department would have done it a little different and allowed what pastors do, the bishop continued. This is what we do. Andrew Abdullah's attorney, Christian Braun, partially agreed. She did disapprove of the NYPD's handling of the situation, but she pointed the blame at Bishop Lamar Whitehead, whose inclusion of himself and the mayor, she assumed, had alarmed the authorities. Kristen Braun said she had numerous conversations with the district attorney assigned to the case. She was already negotiating her client's surrender. He, Bishop Whitehead, could have gotten someone killed, Braun stressed to the New Yorker.
As far as the pastor, he has no affiliation with the family. He has no affiliation with the legal team, and any statements he has made claiming they are on behalf of the family are untrue.
What about him saying, though, that the suspect does not remember anything about the shooting on that day?
I have absolutely no information to substantiate the pastor's claims about my client not remembering anything on Sunday.
Naturally, Mayor Eric Adams was soon asked about Bishop Lamar Whitehead, the eccentric man of God and mentee, a special category of the mayor's friends typically reserved for those with criminal histories. Mayor Adams denied that his administration was working with Bishop Whitehead in any formal capacity, but he stopped short of completely distancing himself.
Go back to, what is the connection between the bishop and Abdullah? Why was he involved in any way, shape, or form?
That's something I think that you have to ask the bishop. I don't know the connection. All I wanted was this bad guy off the street, and whomever wanted to participate in assisting us doing so in any way, that's good enough for me. He could answer that question. I can't.
Bishop Lamar Whitehead would have to answer for so much more in the near future. An ostentatious Brooklyn preacher transforms from victim to villain on this episode of Swindled.
Government officials,
clear violations of federal and state law,
clearly unethical,
pay to play millions of taxpayer dollars that were wasted,
paid tens of millions of dollars,
billion dollars, dumping up its books and records to hide the
bank, falsifying its books and records,
responsible for the collapse of the entire system,
and in the thrall of some kind of swindle.
Let me introduce myself for the ones and the people that don't know who I am. I'm a young man. My mother name was Faith Whitehead, and my father name is Arthur Miller. I grew up with a single parent, my mother, because my father was killed by 16 police officers. He was beat and strangled to death by 16 police officers.
The last time anyone saw Arthur Miller, his feet were poking out of the rear window of a squad car with foam gushing from his mouth. Arthur, a well-known businessman and community leader in Brooklyn, had arrived at the scene of his brother's routine traffic stop, prepared to defuse the situation. Instead, what transpired is considered one of the most notorious acts of racist police violence in New York City history. Arthur Miller's brother, Sam Miller, fled on foot. A few cops gave chase. Several others turned their attention to Arthur, who, according to NYPD's report of the incident, was, quote, violently protesting his brother's arrest. A witness told the New York Daily News at the time, quote, this white detective runs up behind Arthur and shoves him down. They handcuff Arthur's hands behind his back. Then they got him kneeling on the sidewalk here, and one of them comes from behind and holds a nightstick across Miller's Adam's apple. The rest of the cops, they start beating him. According to the NYPD, Arthur Miller had resisted efforts to be detained. The report contradicted eyewitnesses and stated that Miller was conscious and struggling while being transported to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead on arrival. None of the officers involved were criminally charged or even fired. Arthur Miller's death left a large imprint on our community, well before there were hashtags and social media tags to amplify the issues of the day, U.S. Congresswoman Yvette D. Clark told CNN. His murder sparked activism in our community because none of us wanted this type of gut-wrenching grief, violence, devastation, and loss to take place again. Arthur Miller was killed on June 14, 1978. He left behind his wife, Florence, and four children. Actually, five children. 6 weeks before his death, on April 30th, 1978, Arthur Miller's mistress, Faith Whitehead, gave birth to a baby boy in Crown Heights. His name was Lamar Whitehead. Growing up as a young man on the mean streets of Brooklyn was not easy, Lamar would later write. I found myself in the predicament that many young men are faced with today, being raised in a single-parent home without a father, and expected to survive in a world that was designed for me to fail in. Lamar Whitehead was no failure. His broad, disarming smile helped him land acting and modeling gigs in high school, most notably, according to New York Magazine, with FUBU and Tommy Hilfiger. Lamar also received three athletic scholarships for basketball. He chose Eastern New Mexico University, where he studied accounting and videography. But it wasn't until he returned to New York that Lamar Whitehead found his true calling: real estate. Lamar got a job as a mortgage broker for a company called Custom Capital Corporation. He became a branch manager and worked out of an office in the Empire State Building. By all accounts, Lamar Whitehead, now in his mid-20s, had dodged the pitfalls that had plagued so many of his peers. There had been a close call in college when he was charged with forgery, but that case was dismissed after the victims were paid back in full. Perhaps Lamar Whitehead had learned his lesson. Perhaps not. In early 2006, 27-year-old Lamar Whitehead was suspected of orchestrating a massive multi-state identity fraud ring that victimized at least 50 people. Lamar's girlfriend at the time worked at a Honda dealership on Long Island. She had access to thousands of credit applications. Lamar used the information from those credit applications to purchase and resell multiple Range Rovers. He also applied for personal loans in their names and had the checks delivered to anonymous bank drops. Investigators say Lamar Whitehead collected more than $750,000 using these illegal methods. When they took him into custody, Lamar was wearing a mink fur coat and driving a maroon Range Rover that he parked at his $500,000 home in Teaneck, New Jersey. Lamar Whitehead was charged with 10 counts of identity fraud. He pleaded not guilty through a Legal Aid Society attorney. He also filed for bankruptcy. Recognizing that he was on the wrong path, Lamar Whitehead vowed to change his ways. Out on bail, the con man became the bishop after completing ministerial studies at the Theological Institution of Rising Hope. Bishop Lamar Whitehead reportedly wore a priest collar to his trial in 2008, where he was convicted of 17 counts of identity fraud. "I don't fear you, I fear God," Bishop Whitehead told the judge at his sentencing hearing, according to the New Yorker. Whitehead was sentenced to between 10 and 30 years in prison. He was sent to Sing Sing Correctional Facility to serve his time. While in prison, Lamar Whitehead was served a lawsuit by the conductor of the Monterey Symphony, Maximo Bravado Darman, a former real estate client. After helping the elderly man close on a property, Whitehead had solicited a private business loan from the man for $200,000 with a guaranteed $25,000 return. Bravado Darman agreed. Whitehead took the money and never paid it back. "He's a disgusting human being," the conductor's son told the New York Times. "You can quote me on that." Another man told the New Yorker that he'd used Lamar Whitehead as the mortgage broker to sell his house, and that not only did Whitehead pocket the proceeds from the sale, he'd also transferred the property into his name. But that was the old Lamar Whitehead, you see. The reformed Bishop Lamar Whitehead, who was released from prison in the summer of 2013 after almost 6 years, was a changed man. To this day, the bishop claims his prosecution and incarceration was, quote, illegal. He says the charges were brought against him by a corrupt district attorney. He would also tell people that his conviction had been overturned. Not true.
We have shown that the district attorney of Long Island manipulated information to trick and bamboozle the jury to convict a young black man and send me away to prison where they had taken 6 years of my life and had to be scarred with the name of being a felon. Though I would not change nothing because God allowed me to go through this. He allowed me to persevere. He allowed me to stand in the midst of the storm.
Back in New York, Bishop Lamar Whitehead formed a youth outreach ministry called Leaders of Brooklyn Tomorrow, eventually transforming into a more formalized, non-denominational church called Leaders of Tomorrow International. He set up shop in a shoebox-sized rented room above a Haitian restaurant in Canarsie. Whitehead's primary mission, he says, was to build a bridge between the church and the streets. One of the ways the bishop accomplished this mission was by embracing hip-hop. Over the years, he brushed shoulders with New York legends such as Fat Joe, 50 Cent, and Foxy Brown, who he claims is his cousin. Later, Whitehead would take credit for getting Tekashi 6ix9ine a reduced sentence after the rapper pleaded guilty to the use of a child in a sexual performance. In exchange for probation, Bishop Whitehead promised the judge that he would involve Tekashi in his community service efforts. The bishop had previously organized turkey giveaways during the holidays, food and clothing donations, and peace walks. Tekashi ended up in prison later that year anyway on gang-related charges, but cut a deal with the feds for a lighter sentence because he's a bitch-ass snitch. However, the most notable new friend of Bishop Lamar Whitehead was not a rapper. It was Eric Adams, the former NYPD police captain and recently elected Brooklyn Borough president. Lamar Whitehead was introduced to Eric Adams in 2013 through his former lawyer. Adams, who had changed his own life after experiencing some difficult times, offered to mentor Lamar Whitehead.
Hey, we have my boy, Eric Adams, and the first black borough president. And I had a meeting with him yesterday, and we had a phenomenal experience. He's back in Leaders of Tomorrow, Brooklyn, 100%. We're going to be doing a lot of things together. And I just wanted to set this time, first of all, to say thank you. Thank you for being a patriarch for our black community. Thank you for being an advocate for our black community. Thank you for being an advocate for men. Thank you for showing our youth and showing a young man like myself to never give up when the tables turn.
Over the next several years, Bishop Lamar Whitehead would appear at numerous events by Eric Adams' side. The Brooklyn Borough president would refer to the bishop as his good friend and brother. According to the New Yorker, Adams even declared July 31, 2016 to be Leaders of Tomorrow Brooklyn Day in honor of Whitehead's, quote, outstanding contributions to the community. Almost immediately, Adams' cozy relationship with the ex-con raised some questions. Adams was asked about Whitehead after it was reported that the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office had sent the bishop a cease and desist letter after he promoted a collaborative justice initiative that did not exist. Later, the NYPD and Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce also countered Whitehead's claims that they were partnering with his group on specific initiatives. "I was arrested at 15 years old," Eric Adams responded, "and because people embraced me when I was arrested, I embrace Lamar Whitehead."
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you? This is Bishop Lamar Whitehead, and I greet you with the love of Jesus. Just wanted to drop this in your spirit today. So what? You was a bad person back in the day. So what about the sins you committed yesterday? So what? Today, God says, turn your life around, accept me as your Lord and Savior. And guess what? No matter what they throw in your face, tell them you can't fit that no more. You see, a lot of times our enemies and our haters like to throw up our past in our face. But let them know that was years ago. I don't wear the same clothes anymore.
Lamar Whitehead did not wear the same clothes anymore, quite literally. Here he is showing off his prayer closet, which contains what appears to be hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of designer shoes and clothing.
This is my prayer closet. Got all my priestly robes and more. Designer coats, you name it. Gucci, Louis, you name it. Fendi, you name it. More coats. And then when you walk into my shoe closet, designer wear for days. But I didn't come on to talk about designer wear or wealth. I miss my son Jaden. I miss my daughter Soraya. They're my two children that I had with my previous marriage.
From an outside perspective, Bishop Lamar Whitehead was thriving. But his personal life was rife with trials and tribulations. Lamar Whitehead had lost visitation rights with the two children he'd had with his first wife, Aisha Williams. According to the New York Post, the bishop had also been arrested in 2015 for allegedly hitting his then 7-year-old son, but the case was dropped after officials found no probable cause to prosecute. According to the New Yorker, Aisha Williams also accused Whitehead of stealing his lawyer's notary stamp in an attempt to steal the title to her house. Life is full of peaks and valleys, but as the poem goes, remember, my precious child, when you saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you to avoid getting sand on those vintage Jordans, or something like that. By the decade's end, Bishop Lamar Whitehead had landed on his feet He remarried to a fellow recently ordained, musically talented minister named Asia Dos Reis. They had a new baby on the way. Lamar was driving a Rolls Royce. He bought a Mercedes G-Wagon for his wife. Together, they lived in a $1.6 million, 9,000 square foot, 6-bedroom, 7-bathroom house in Paramus, New Jersey, all of which he flaunted on social media, which begged the question, how does a bishop of a small church in Brooklyn afford such luxuries?
I own real estate, y'all. I own real estate. This is what the bishop does.
That's right. The bishop was still dabbling in real estate. Most recently, in 2021, Lamar Whitehead took out a $4 million mortgage to buy half a block of apartments in Northeast Hartford, Connecticut. He called it Whitehead Estates.
God bless you, God bless you. I just closed on a multi-apartment building complex. It's called Whitehead Estates. Just got through filling out and closing. That's right, Whitehead Estates is here, y'all. A 48-unit apartment building, closed, signed, sealed, and delivered, because God said, more to come.
From praising the Lord to slumming the Lord, Whitehead immediately raised the rents for every low-income tenant. Many of those tenants refused to pay the increase to protest the building's rapidly deteriorating conditions. The roof was leaking, there were rodent and insect infestations, the emergency doors were bolted shut. Bishop Whitehead proceeded with the evictions.
Yes, it's time to worship. Today is our Sabbath day. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Today's sermon topic is going to be amazing. God placed in my heart to explain and to teach to his people that there is money right now falling from heaven.
The angels were making it rain, and Lamar Whitehead could teach you how to cash in. Through his church, the bishop offered free financial literacy courses. All he asked for in return was small donations and personal data, including social security numbers. Do you want to improve your credit score or not? Also, nothing says financial literacy like inviting Louis Vuitton to set up a retail trailer in your driveway so your entire extended family could shop. That's what Lamar Whitehead did in 2021 to celebrate the release of his new self-help relationship book titled God Made You a Wife, Not a Girlfriend, which he claimed was a New York Times bestseller. There's no evidence that that's true.
Celebrating the New York Times best-selling author.
That's right.
God Made You a Wife and Not a Girlfriend.
That's right.
This is what it's about today.
It's amazing how you could say we off to Louis Vuitton right in your house. Right? This is how we do, right? God made you a wife, not a girlfriend.
Successful church, successful real estate magnate, successful author. Still, Lamar Whitehead had higher aspirations.
My father, Arthur Miller, was choked to death by the NYPD. He was the first I can't breathe in this modern day time. I was formerly incarcerated because of the system that continues to fail us. I am a pastor, a husband, and a father of 3 children. I am running because I want my children to live and not be viewed as a threat to society. I'm running because I want to serve you. I am Bishop Lamar Miller Whitehead, your candidate for Brooklyn Bowl President, paid for by Lamar Miller Whitehead for BP.
In 2021, Bishop Lamar Whitehead announced he would run to replace his friend and mentor, Eric Adams, as Brooklyn Borough President. Adams, who had held the position for 8 years, was stepping down to campaign for mayor of New York City. Bishop Whitehead thought he was the natural successor.
I have the intellect. I have 2 churches. I'm a businessman. I've been doing real estate for over 20 years. I'm very successful in that. I'm from the streets, you know, so I've never been a part of a gang, but all the gang members love me.
Lamar Whitehead finished a distant last in the Democratic primary later that year, despite spending far more than his opponents. It is what it is, Whitehead accepted. God must have had a different plan.
Give it a big victory bash here in Brooklyn tonight with a diverse coalition of New Yorkers celebrating the election of Eric Adams. He will be the city's 110th mayor.
The following is a paid advertisement for the Swindle Valued Listener Rewards Program.
Are you tired of hearing advertisements in swindled like this one? Do you wish there was more swindled content to distract you from your miserable existence? Don't settle for those other inferior podcasts with the annoying hosts who laugh at their own jokes. Become a swindled valued listener today to receive easy access to new episodes and exclusive access to bonus episodes that are not available anywhere else. Completely advertisement free. It's fun for the whole family, but don't take our word for it.
As a former member of a popular boy band, $5 for my valued listener membership is a no-brainer. But after listening to episode 24, The Mogul, I'm having something of an existential crisis, seeing how the gears of capitalism ground me into dust before I even went through puberty. But what is life without growth? I wouldn't have faced these hard truths without being a valued listener. Sign up today.
Millions of swindled fans have discovered the secret of becoming a valued listener. Try it in your own home today. Also, act now to receive the Valued News for Valued Listeners update show at no extra cost. That's a $5,000 value for one easy monthly payment of $4.99.
Go to valuedlistener.com to sign up using Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Patreon. No long-term commitments, satisfaction guaranteed, foreign currency accepted, cancel anytime. Please, just give us your money.
Now to breaking news. The NYPD has an update on the search for the suspect in Sunday morning subway shooting. Police say Andrew Abdullah failed to show up after negotiating his surrender with a minister. The minister is at the 5th Police Precinct, but we're told Abdullah is not yet in custody. Abdullah is accused of shooting 48-year-old Daniel Enriquez on a Manhattan-bound Q train as it crossed the Manhattan Bridge.
In May 2022, Lamour Whitehead became front-page tabloid news. The Bling Bishop, as he was dubbed, rolled up to the 5th Precinct in a Rolls-Royce and a $2,000 Fendi blazer to escort the Q-train shooter to the police. Lamour's plan ultimately fell through, but his luxurious lifestyle garnered almost equal attention. Lamour Whitehead was officially in the spotlight. A year's worth of headline-grabbing incidents starring the bishop was just beginning, and sunlight is the best disinfectant.
God bless you. God bless you. Happy Sunday. I'm on my way to church. Listen, you can meet me at 922 Remsen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11236 at 10 a.m. Worship service begins.
On Sunday, July 24th, 2022, at 11 a.m., Bishop Lamour Whitehead was where you would expect to find him, manning the pulpit at the Leaders of Tomorrow International Church in Canarsie, Brooklyn, New York. His sermon that day was titled, Remember Me, about keeping faith in the face of grave adversity. The usual congregation was in attendance. Dozens more watched a live stream of the service on Instagram and Facebook. 10 minutes into his presentation, Bishop Whitehead says he felt a demonic force enter the church. Just then, three armed men wearing masks crossed Remsen Avenue and barged through the front doors. When Bishop Whitehead realized what was happening, he threw his hands in the air and lay on the ground.
How many of you have lost your faith because you saw somebody else die, what you about to go through? Yo, all right.
Nobody move. One of the men walked directly to Bishop Whitehead and prodded the barrel of a gun into his back. The robber snatched the Rolex off Lamar's wrist, multiple rings off of his fingers, including his wedding band, and yanked the emerald cross off his neck. Then the masked man patted the bishop's neck like he knew there was more to be had. The gold-trimmed collar from Whitehead's maroon suit was ripped off to reveal a Cuban link gold chain. It was added to the haul in the robber's pocket, which a minute later would be running out the front door. At the same time, another masked man was pointing a gun at Bishop Whitehead's wife, Asia, who was holding the couple's 8-month-old baby. After pilfering her of all visible jewelry, the three men fled the church, crossed the street, and climbed into a white Mercedes-Benz. They drove east on Avenue D. Lamour Whitehead says he gave chase to no avail. Fortunately, no one was harmed during the robbery.
A Brooklyn bishop was robbed at gunpoint in the middle of his Sunday sermon today, and it was all caught on camera. The service was being live streamed this morning when he says 3 to 4 men walked in with guns.
Took off my bishop's ring, my wedding band, and took off my bishop's chain, and then I had chains underneath my robe. He started tapping my neck to see if anything else. So that means they knew. They watched and they knew that I have other jury.
Bishop Whitehead, who had grown accustomed to sharing almost every waking moment on social media, hosted a live stream that evening to discuss the incident.
I got you. I got the message. Satan, I got the message.
The women and children who attended the church, including his own family, were completely traumatized by the event, the bishop said. But he wasn't going to change his lifestyle because of it. I'm going to live my life the way God has set it up for me, he said.
And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, why are you so flashy? It's not about me being flashy. It's about me purchasing what I want to purchase. And it's my prerogative to purchase what I want to purchase. If I worked hard for it, I can purchase what I want to purchase.
What Bishop Whitehead wanted to purchase now was information. Any information about the three men who robbed his church. He offered a $50,000 reward. There was no surprise that people wanted what the bishop had, he said. It comes with the territory.
You know, when you are a known bishop, it's a gift and a curse. When you have somewhat of a celebrity status, it is a gift and a curse. You know, you become the talk of the town.
The church robbery made Bishop Lamar Whitehead the talk of the town once again, the second time in as many months. Speculation about the incident ran rampant online. Was it a setup? Was the jewelry insured? Did the bishop orchestrate it? It all seemed a bit too convenient, spectators pondered. The estimated value of the stolen jewelry had increased from $400,000 to $1 million in the days after the robbery. Why was he wearing it during church to begin with? Also, not even the mob would violate a house of worship. It was all so melodramatic. Like a Tyler Perry movie, is how Atlanta-based pastor Genesis Warren described it. She appeared on Larry Reed Live to discuss the incident a day after it happened. Larry Reed is a religious-based comedic commentator, so that's what he and Genesis did. They found the comedy in what could have been an absolute tragedy. Comedy, such as the fact that the Blink Bishop's backdrop appeared to be attached to the wall with thumbtacks.
But when I seen this here video, and I looked at this backdrop of look like sheep.
Larry!
And I said, now we got a problem. Because if you rich, you can take $100,000 and buy you a whole new backdrop for the church. I said, this don't make no sense to me.
Larry, I was crying.
There was someone in Larry Reed's audience that day who wasn't crying. Or maybe he was, but he was also steaming. That someone was Lamar Whitehead. He was watching the live stream of Larry Reed Live while the robbery of his church was being discussed, but the humor was lost on him. Bishop Whitehead requested to join the conversation because he had a few things he wanted to say to Larry Reed and Genesis Warren.
Ma'am, I don't even know you, ma'am, all right?
But you're
you need to stay out of this one. I don't even know you, all right? I don't even know you. You're trying to include yourself into this.
Help.
You need to go and get some weight loss if you want to get sir.
Late.
If you want to see and laugh about what happened in my church when we got armed robbed, you're fat. That's what you are. You're a fat slob. I don't know you.
Okay.
All right.
The conversation devolved almost immediately, resulting in a 15-minute insult fest that featured fat shaming, homophobic slurs, and other creative colonial era name calling. Lamar also denied that the robbery was a hoax and berated the host for making a mockery of a serious incident. The bishop also took great offense to the accusation that thumbtacks were holding up his backdrop.
It ain't no damn thumbtacks in my church. It ain't no thumbtacks in my church.
Whatever it is, it's ugly. And you got enough money to change it.
But Larry, you're ugly. Oh, let's talk about that. You're ugly. Let's talk about that. You're a beast. Okay, all right, you and Benjamin Franklin down there and Ben Schwartz down here, right? You're a beast, all right?
You're ugly, homosexual, right? You said you're a homosexual. That's what you said.
No,
you
I didn't say that.
Faggot. You did say that. You said it. You said it. You said it. You did say it. You did say it.
You didn't listen. Hold on.
You
can say I said whatever you want to say. Don't make it
you
true.
You quoted that you took nuts in your mouth. That's what you quoted. You quoted that.
That was because I was molested, nigga.
No, I am not willing to take no nut in my mouth. But you was in prison.
So how many nuts you took in your mouth?
I'm gonna say this to you. You could kiss my ass. You and Biggie Smalls.
Bishop Lamar Whitehead would ultimately apologize for offending anyone. He said he had spoken out of character. Lamar, admittedly, was getting a little heated from having to defend himself constantly. The press was getting worse every day. All this publicity triggered the media and content creators to dig into the Bling Bishop's past. Obviously, they found his criminal history, the prison time for the identity theft. They found the past lawsuits with the conductor and such. But they also found something new. 4 days after the robbery, the digital news site thecity.nyc reported that a former parishioner was suing Bishop Lamar Whitehead for stealing $90,000.
Right now at 5:30, more trouble for a Brooklyn bishop robbed during a Sunday service while it was streamed online. He is now being sued by a former parishioner.
Pauline Anderson needed to find a new place to live for her and her elderly mother, and quickly. Her landlord was selling the place out from under them. 56-year-old Pauline herself was just recovering from a life-threatening surgery. It would be challenging to locate a property. Pauline Anderson was not a former Leaders of Tomorrow International parishioner, but her son was. Bishop Lamar had presided over Rashid Anderson's wedding in early 2020. He'd also helped Rashid and his new wife with the process of buying a house. Rashid introduced Bishop Whitehead to his mother in July 2020. The bishop was happy to help. He set Pauline up with two lenders to determine what kind of mortgage she could qualify for. The answer was zero. Pauline Anderson's credit was poor. She had co-signed loans for another son and a niece and, well, you know how it goes. By the grace of God, Bishop Whitehead offered a plan B. He told Pauline to send the money to his company, Lamar Whitehead Incorporated, so that he could buy the property in his name. Then she could live in it and pay him monthly, kind of like a rent-to-own type of situation. No credit needed. Pauline Anderson was hesitant to accept the offer. The retired nurse would have to liquidate her entire $90,000 nest egg. She had no other income, no other assets. No need to worry, Whitehead assured. He would distribute any accrued interest from that 90 grand to her every month until a property was found, about 100 bucks a month. Surely she could survive on that in New York City. Bishop Whitehead promised it wouldn't take long. Pauline Anderson reluctantly agreed. At the next Sunday service, Rashid Anderson handed the bishop a signed check from his mother for $90,015. Bishop Whitehead provided no receipt or contract as Pauline had requested. Then Bishop Whitehead cashed the check. And as promised, he sent Pauline Anderson a monthly stipend of $100. He also sent her a list of properties to check out in New Jersey, properties that weren't even remotely close to what Pauline was looking for. After 2 months of house shopping, Bishop Lamar Whitehead stopped responding. He claimed he was too busy campaigning for the Brooklyn Borough presidency at that present moment. Rashid Anderson eventually became forceful, demanding the bishop return at least $5,000 so his mother and grandmother could survive. This led to a falling out between Rashid and Lamar, which made Pauline increasingly worried. By May 2021, she decided to pull the plug on the whole idea and texted the bishop to return the money. Almost a year had passed. Their current building was up for sale. The whole process was taking too long. Lamar Whitehead told Pauline Anderson that all her money was currently invested and inaccessible. Quote, "After my campaign, I'll see what I can do." A few days and several text messages later, the relationship was beyond repair. In a group text dated May 19th, 2021, Lamar accuses Rashid of being possessed. "Good morning, Rashid. You are a liar, and I promise you God will deal with you. If you want to hire a lawyer, have them contact me. At this point, you are a liar and a deceiver. Nothing you have said is accurate, and you have a demon that only God can deal with. Now watch God's judgment on your life. Lamar also had a message for Pauline, quote, "Anything that was given to me is a donation, unless it's attached to a contract." In other words, according to Lamar, he had no obligation to pay the money back. All of this because of what, Pauline wrote, because you took money that you refused to pay back, and now you're quoting scripture to serve your purpose. This is so offensive, and did you just go there? You said you were a man of integrity. Lamar Whitehead stopped responding. Until July, at least. That's when the bishop accidentally emailed Rashid a copy of a contract for a $4.4 million mansion in Saddle River, New Jersey, that he was trying to buy for himself. That sale never went through, but he did complete a purchase of a half block of apartments in Hartford, Connecticut later that same year. Pauline assumed that's what happened to her money, so she sued, which again became public knowledge just days after the church was robbed. Bishop Whitehead felt compelled to respond to all the negative publicity. He scheduled a press conference on the street in front of his church for July 29th, 2022.
I called this emergency press conference because the leading story around the world is Bishop Whitehead. You Google Bishop Whitehead, everybody's trending off of Bishop Whitehead. But Bishop Whitehead goes home and cries because I'm the victim. My church is the victim. But the media is portraying me to be a villain. And it's not fair.
The bishop rattled off his list of complaints, starting with how he was portrayed in the media after the surrender of Andrew Abdullah. All the talk about his cars and clothes made him a target, he accused. There were no news articles about all the good things he had done for the community. All the focus was on his past transgressions and his current lifestyle. The bishop demanded more empathy in the wake of a traumatic event. He also called on government officials to pass a law so that clergymen could legally carry guns, criminal record or not.
Everybody wanted to talk about the bling bling bishop. And then you posterize if I wear a Fendi suit or Gucci suit. Why is Fendi, Louis, and Gucci, why can't we wear that in the church? What's wrong with that? My mother was on welfare. But as soon as a black man has a tailored suit, he's a criminal. And y'all build a narrative. But what about my church? What about the women that's crying, that's calling me? What about my church? It's not about me. Why are y'all doing this to my church? Why are you doing this to every house of worship? Talk about being sympathetic and empathetic to my church.
Notably, what Bishop Lamar Whitehead did not address at his stirring press conference was the current lawsuit brought by Pauline Anderson. Instead, he offered this.
We gain a victory today. We gain a victory today. Y'all do your own research, but I can't get into the legality of this fictitious claim against me. So we gain a victory today.
The bishop was correct. His legal team had scored a victory that afternoon. Pauline Anderson's lawsuit had been dismissed, but only because Pauline's lawyers had not filed the proper paperwork in time. At an unrelated press conference, Mayor Eric Adams was once again asked about his relationship with Bishop Lamar Whitehead. "I have always maintained relationships with people who have gone through traumatic experiences," the mayor said, "and my goal is to mentor people who go through crises."
Lamar and any other individual that I support, I continue to try to mentor. As a black man, I have an obligation to mentor other black men that had negative encounters in their lives and other people in general.
This particular mentorship did not seem to be working. Lamar Whitehead couldn't help himself. On September 5th, 2022, he was back in the news because he filed a $20 million defamation lawsuit against Larry Reed, his internet foe, and DeMario Jives, another internet personality who uses the handle King Jives.
Larry Reed, King Jives, y'all probably kissing each other, to be honest with you.
Lamar accused the content creators of spreading baseless lies about him costing him millions of dollars in business opportunities. Later, Lamar Whitehead would sue radio DJ Miss Jones for $50 million and Tasha Kay, the gossip podcaster, for $360 million for similar reasons. He also challenged comedian D.L. Hughley to a $1 million boxing match in the name of Jesus.
We had this, I didn't want him on the show, but he insisted, and this people called, we had the worst argument. He ended up challenging me to a celebrity boxing match. I'm like, well, who gonna be the other celebrity, motherfucker?
On September 19th, 2022, Bishop Lamar Whitehead was back in the news. Two women, who Whitehead referred to as wannabe up-and-coming bloggers, interrupted his church service to the point where Whitehead physically escorted one of them out. He said he felt threatened because of the recent robbery. Whitehead accused Larry Reed of sending them since one of the women had appeared on his show.
Now the bishop says he believes this was all a setup. He says he thinks two bloggers sent the woman his way for clout.
The cops arrived and took one woman and Lamar Whitehead into custody that day. Whitehead was released without charges. The woman was charged with trespassing and disrupting a religious service. Unsurprisingly, this incident deserved a Bishop Whitehead press conference.
What's going around in the NYPD is Bishop Whitehead set this robbery up. They staged it. So now, why would they respect me in my church if they feel that I'm a criminal? I'm a black man, so automatically I'm a criminal.
To be honest, Lamar Whitehead was not doing himself any favors. More revelations about his questionable financial dealings had surfaced, from multiple judgments against him for failing to pay auto loans and home renovations to a lawsuit from a former campaign staffer claiming Whitehead owed him nearly $60,000 in reimbursements. This man of God's integrity was highly suspect. Why would anyone believe the robbery was real? Just as the noise surrounding Bishop Lamar Whitehead's controversies reached a fever pitch, vindication arrived on September 28, 2022. Hate to say he told you so.
And this just in, police have now arrested two suspects in connection to the brazen robbery of a Brooklyn pastor.
Today, September 28th, members of the NYPD and ATF executed arrest warrants. Arrested was Juwan Anderson, 24-year-old male of 20 Monroe Avenue in Brooklyn. He has two prior arrests. In July of 2020 for a domestic violence assault misdemeanor, and earlier in this year in January for an unlicensed operator. Second male was arrested and taken into custody is Saquon Pollock, 24-year-old male of 1414 Bergen Avenue in Brooklyn. He has seven prior arrests.
On September 28th, 2022, the NYPD and the ATF announced the arrest of two of the three men suspected of robbing the Leaders of Tomorrow International Church in Brooklyn. Juwan Anderson and Saquon Pollock were both 24 years old. Both were habitual offenders. Saquon had just gotten out of prison for a string of robberies in 2015. Both men eventually pleaded guilty to robbing the church. Saquon Pollock was sentenced to 7.25 years in prison. Juwan Anderson is currently awaiting sentencing. None of Bishop Lamar Whitehead's jewelry was recovered. A third suspect remained at large. Was this news worthy of a Bishop Whitehead press conference? Of course it was.
It's a win today because the narrative that was posted and presented that I had something to do with this robbery, and it has destroyed my life.
No hoax, no setup. No inside job. He tried to tell y'all. Unfortunately for Bishop Whitehead, his redemption arc lasted about 2 months.
Developing story, the Brooklyn pastor who was robbed of expensive jewelry during a live stream church service has been indicted on federal charges and is now in custody. The U.S. Attorney's Office says Bishop Lamar Whitehead is accused of fraud, extortion, and lying to the FBI.
45-year-old Lamar Whitehead was arrested on December 19th, 2022. The bishop's, quote, campaign of fraud and deceit stops now, said U.S. Attorney Damian Williams. Whitehead was indicted on four charges. The wire fraud count related to the $90,000 he stole from Pauline Anderson with, quote, no intention of investing it, returning it, or enriching the victims. Instead, the indictment reads, Lamar Whitehead spent Pauline Anderson's $90,000 at Louis Vuitton, Foot Locker, and Grubhub. He also made some payments on a BMW. The making false statements to the FBI charge related to a second cell phone. When the FBI asked Lamar Whitehead if he used a second cell phone, he said no. Whitehead then sent a text to someone after the search from his other phone that read, quote, my other phone. The other two charges in the indictment, attempted extortion and attempted wire fraud, related to an unnamed businessman. Whitehead allegedly attempted to convince that businessman to lend him $500,000 and a stake in certain real estate transactions in return for favorable actions from the city government, courtesy of Whitehead's cozy relationship with the mayor. The bishop also allegedly used the threat of force to obtain $5,000 from the unnamed businessman. That unnamed businessman would eventually reveal himself a few weeks later in a January 2023 New Yorker article by Eric Latch titled The Mayor and the Con Man. His name was Brandon Belmonte. He owned a body shop in Brooklyn and a luxury car rental business, and like the bishop, he too dabbled in real estate. Brandon Belmonte told The New Yorker and other outlets that he first met Lamar Whitehead in early 2022. There would be no business between them until months later, but as Belmonte told M-Eazy on Power 105.1, the bishop made quite the first impression.
I'll never forget, Bishop walks in with this big, huge chain that either cost less than a Hershey bar or more than, a Rolls Royce. One or the other, right? And I basically shoved him off and said, I'm not interested.
Months later, Lamar Whitehead contacted Brandon Belmonte about repairing his wife's G-Wagon, which had been damaged in a wreck. Belmonte agreed to take the job. Within days, the bishop was making additional demands. Long story short, Whitehead said his wife's car was taking too long to repair. The bishop wanted $5,000 as a reimbursement. Belmonte refused to pay.
Long story short, he starts making threats. Yo, I'm gonna send somebody to come pick up my fucking money. I'm gonna show up at your house. I'm gonna pull up on you. Starts talking like a street guy. I go, bro, I'm not a street guy.
Something weird was going on with this guy, Belmonte thought. The bishop was name-dropping the mayor in every conversation, talking about how he had City Hall in his back pocket and how he could help with his real estate deals, this and that. Concerned that he was being extorted, Brandon Belmonte called a friend who was a former Justice Department employee.
I call it my boy, I go, what should I do? I said, I really think the mayor's on the take. I said, there's some weird shit going on here. Every word out of this guy's mouth is Eric Adams, Eric Adams, Eric Adams. And he presents himself as a thug and as a legitimate businessman.
Belmonte ultimately called the U.S. Attorney's Office per his friend's advice. The FBI called him back. They came to his house and arranged a recorded phone call with Lamar Whitehead, during which Belmonte told the bishop he was ready to do business.
He goes, yeah, me and you will sit down with Eric. Just get me my $5,000. Everything is going to go, as planned. And we're going to make money together. We're going to make millions together.
In the spring of 2022, the FBI provided Brandon Belmonte with the $5,000 kickback Lamar Whitehead demanded. Soon, he was asking for more. Specifically, Lamar Whitehead wanted $500,000 to renovate the apartments he had just bought in Hartford, Connecticut. In exchange, Whitehead promised to set up a meeting with Mayor Eric Adams to help with the property that Belmonte was developing in the Bronx. Whitehead said he could get the mayor to designate the building as a homeless shelter so that Belmonte could receive all the rebates and tax breaks that go along with that, but still charge top dollar rent. It was a blatantly illegal scheme, but Bishop Lamar Whitehead said he could get it done. However, ownership of the property needed to be in his name to make it work. Neither Brandon Belmonte nor the FBI provided that $500,000. Whitehead was blowing up his phone every day. They strung him along until investigators determined that the mayor was not involved and that Lamar Whitehead did not have that kind of sway. The investigation, which began in February 2022, was complete. The bishop was arrested. He pleaded not guilty. He will be vigorously defending these allegations, Whitehead's lawyer Don Florio told the press. He feels that he is being targeted and being turned into a villain from a victim. Bishop Lamar Whitehead was released on a $500,000 bond. Time for a live stream.
Media let you guys know I was arrested yesterday.
And just because you are arrested doesn't make you guilty. It's the way of the world. And we live in a place called America, and you are innocent till proven guilty.
Let him explain. Bishop Whitehead says Brandon Belmonte set him up and that nothing he told the FBI was accurate. But based on that information, Whitehead claims the feds wanted him to flip on his friend, Mayor Adams, but there was nothing to flip about, so he refused. As a result, he says, the feds promised to make his life a living hell, despite almost all of the allegations being confirmed by audio recordings.
This Brandon Belmonte is a liar. He's a con artist. He's a scammer. And he has hurt a lot of people.
While out on bond in March 2023, Lamar Whitehead filed another defamation lawsuit. This time, it was against Brandon Belmonte for $200 million. Whitehead alleged that comments made by Belmonte that were published in the New Yorker article had, quote, injured his reputation as a pastor and as a professional real estate investor. That same month, a superseding indictment was filed against Lamar Whitehead, which included an additional wire fraud count. The bishop allegedly submitted fake bank documents and an online loan application for a $250,000 business loan, which he was denied. Whitehead also used the fake documents to apply for a $1.3 million mortgage to buy his mansion in Paramus. Federal prosecutors allege that he fabricated a bank account that did not exist to show that his company had more than $2 million in the bank. In reality, Whitehead's account, on average, maintained a balance of less than $10. In other news,
developing tonight, a suspect wanted in the robbery of a Brooklyn bishop that was caught on camera is killed in a shootout with law enforcement.
41-year-old Shamar Leggett was identified as the third suspect in the Leaders of Tomorrow International Church robbery. He had served two stints in prison for robbery and attempted murder. Most notably, in 2002, he had been arrested for the armed robbery of NBA player Chris Childs outside a restaurant owned by P. Diddy. Shamar Leggett had only been out of prison for 6 months before the church incident. He was already wanted in Rhode Island for shooting and robbing a man, and in Pennsylvania for the death of a man outside a strip club in Scranton. Shamar Leggett was third among New York's most wanted fugitives, and on January 24, 2024, a year and a half after the church robbery, U.S. Marshals had him right where they wanted him, holed up in a motel room near South Brunswick, New Jersey. 15 minutes into the standoff, Shamar's girlfriend surrendered. Leggett himself eventually emerged with guns blazing. Law enforcement eliminated the threat. No one else was injured. Bishop Whitehead turned the other cheek.
I'm still dealing with the traumatic experience, but you know, when you're a pastor, you're the leader. I give full condolences to his family, and if he have children, you know, because I've forgiven him.
That was the last good news, if you want to call it that, that the bishop would receive that year. And it was only January. Earlier that month, a judge ruled that Bishop Whitehead had illegally changed the locks to a church that he did not own and threw all its property into a dumpster. Whitehead claimed he had received permission from a brother and sister buyer who purchased the building at a tax sale auction. The Glory of God Church on Foster Avenue claimed it was a misunderstanding and sued Whitehead for $5 million. A civil court sided with the church. Bishop Whitehead declared bankruptcy ahead of his trial. It was also revealed that Lamar Whitehead had participated in a straw donor scheme during his campaign for Brooklyn Borough President. According to the Daily News, he contributed donations using his own funds. He reported the money as coming from multiple donors, making the campaign eligible for public matching funds. Whitehead was not charged with anything related to that scheme, but it allowed federal authorities to secure a search warrant for the broader investigation. To add insult to injury, Lolisa Miller Bradford, the youngest daughter of Arthur Miller, expressed skepticism publicly that Lamar Whitehead was her half-brother. Lamar's birth certificate was not signed by Arthur Miller, and he had not been included in Arthur Miller's will. Lolisa told the Daily News that one of the first times she ever heard from her so-called half-brother was when he called asking for a portion of the settlement money from Arthur's death so that he could buy a Toyota Camry. In the past, Lolisa said she had suggested Lamar take a DNA test so they could confirm his assertions, but he had refused. The relationship, or lack thereof, had been volatile ever since. And now, like everyone else, Lolisa Miller Bradford was watching with great interest the consequences of the bishop's actions catch up to him. Lamore Whitehead's trial began in late February 2024. He showed up in a plain black suit. The prosecution, led by Assistant U.S. Attorney Jessica Greenwood, alleged that the bishop abused the trust of those who believed in him by lying repeatedly. Quote, he lied about how much money he had, he lied about his business plans, and he lied about having influence with powerful people, all with the goal of getting money and property to fund his extravagant lifestyle. The defense did not have much to offer. On March 11, 2024, Lamore Whitehead was convicted of all five counts, including wire fraud and attempted extortion. Whitehead's attorney Don Florio said in a statement that her team remains steadfast in its belief that Whitehead is innocent. We will explore all available legal avenues to ensure that justice is served. Our dedication to proving Bishop Whitehead's innocence is unwavering, and we will immediately begin the appeal process. Lamore Whitehead returned home to await his sentencing date.
Well, he's known as the Bling Bishop, and a federal jury just found him guilty of fraud and extortion.
You guys know that I was on trial. I was on federal trial, and I was found guilty yesterday. This was not about Bishop Whitehead, y'all. This was politically driven. This was about Mayor Eric Adams, okay?
On April 29th, 2024, Whitehead Estates went into foreclosure. The following day, April 30th, the bishop's 46th birthday, Lamore Whitehead offered a gift to the world. Any guesses?
Hey, y'all, this is your bishop, the bishop, Bishop Lamore Miller Whitehead, and I greet you with the love of Jesus Christ. So I just made a great announcement, a big announcement, and I want to celebrate with you. I'm starting my podcast. It's been well overdue, and it's called Not Guilty. Oh, my Jesus.
Of course, during the first episode of Bishop Whitehead's Not Guilty podcast, he basically retried his case. He went into detail about how the prosecution performed illegal acts, how they didn't turn over certain evidence, how the FBI lied on affidavits, how they wanted him to be an informant against Mayor Adams, how Brandon Belmonte set him up, most of which we've all heard before. But what was different this time was that Lamore Whitehead had the paperwork he claimed would exonerate him, and he was eager to share it.
Everything that we show you on the Not Guilty podcast will be paperwork, right? Because everybody set the narrative about Bishop Lamore Whitehead as a villain and not a victim.
Where can we see this paperwork for ourselves?
And all of this paperwork, we will have it on the Patreon, the Bishop's Patreon.
This guy's a natural. Lamore Whitehead planned to dive into the Pauline Anderson allegations in episode 2 of the Not Guilty podcast, but there was no episode 2. All those documents he read during episode 1 had not been unsealed at the conclusion of his trial. Therefore, Whitehead broke a restraining order. A judge also ruled that his attempted extortion charge was a crime of violence and that he had threatened the victim, Pauline Anderson, by directing a Bible verse at her. Consequently, Bishop Whitehead's bond was revoked and he was sent to jail on May 20th, 2024 until he was sentenced. On May 31st, 2024, the Whitehead Mansion in Paramus was foreclosed on. During his sentencing hearing on June 17th, 2024, Lamore Whitehead launched into one of his patented, long-winded speeches. Your Honor, I am an honorable man, and my children need me. Whitehead requested that he be used as the poster child of another chance. That second chance had come and gone. Lamore Whitehead was sentenced to 9 years in prison and ordered to pay $85,000 in restitution to Pauline Anderson. Whitehead was also required to forfeit another $95,000. Lamore Whitehead is a con man who stole millions of dollars in a string of financial frauds and even stole from one of his own parishioners. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams said in a news release, he lied to federal agents and again to the court at his trial. Today's sentence puts an end to Whitehead's various schemes and reflects this office's commitment to bring accountability to those who abuse their positions of trust. Speaking of which, what about you, Mayor Eric Adams? Any last words for your mentee.
First, Bishop Whitehead is in my prayers, and I wish the best for him.
Swindled is written, researched, produced, and hosted by me, a concerned citizen, with original music by Trevor Howard, aka Deformer, aka Leader of Tomorrow. For more information about Swindled, you can visit swindledpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Swindled Podcast. Or you can send us a postcard at P.O. Box 6044, Austin, Texas 78762. But please, no packages. We do not trust you. Swindled is a completely independent production, which means no network, no investors, no bosses, no shadowy money men, no Cuban links. And we plan to keep it that way, but we need your support. Become a valued listener on Patreon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify at valuedlistener.com. For as little as $5 a month, you will receive early access to new episodes and exclusive access to bonus episodes that you can't find anywhere else. And everything is 100% commercial free. Become a valued listener at valuedlistener.com. Or if you want to support the show and need something to add to your prayer closet, consider buying something you don't need at swindledpodcast.com/shop. Their t-shirts, patches, hats, hoodies, posters, coffee mugs, and more. swindledpodcast.com/shop. And remember to use coupon code CAPITALISM to receive 10% off your order. If you don't want anything in return for your support, you can always simply donate using the form on the homepage. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Andrew from Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Hello, my name is Raina from Washington, D.C.
My name is Tyler from North Carolina.
And
I am a concerned citizen
and
a valued listener.
Thanks.
Even Hallmark has killed people. Never saw that coming.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.